a great organization, and God is ready to do some powerful things in 2019 with the Gideons as they come and they share the testimonies and the powerful things that that organization has done for years. And I know personally myself, the first person that we met with a deliverance ministry, his name was Brian Rudd, and he was a scary fellow. But he read a Gideon Bible in a jail, and God come into the jailhouse and delivered him, and he become a great deliverance ministry, especially when you go through the things that he went through. And I remember the first time hearing him, I didn't think I had anything wrong with me. And by the end of the night, I was looking at, was wondering if I had anything right in me. And so the Gideons goes into the prisons, they go into the hotels, they go into the motels, they go into the waysides, they go wherever they're called, and they have testimony after testimony. Literally millions and millions of people have given their heart to Jesus Christ because someone cared enough and an organization organized enough to bring forth a mighty, mighty move of God. Amen. And so Dale Anderson is going to come, and I don't know if his wife is going to speak, but we figured it out. They were Anderson. They were, it depends on how it's spelled at the end, and Johnson and Jacobson, and, you know, he's a sweeter Norwegian one way or another. So let's give Dale a great community church welcome, and God bless you, brother.
That song is a kind of a tough act to follow. It's one of my favorites. I'm glad your pastor mentioned that God saved, delivered that man. The Gideons have never delivered anyone, but they have provided the Word of God, which can deliver people. I'd like to start with a little story. There was a young man one time. He was walking through the woods. And he came upon a deep, deep hole in the ground, a large hole. And he was curious, so he picked up a little branch and he threw it in the hole, and he never heard it hit bottom. So he picked up a little bigger rock and he threw it in the hole. And he listened and he couldn't hear it hit bottom. So then he noticed a railroad tie. So he got over to that railroad tie, and he got down and hoisted it on his shoulder and lugged it over to the hole. And he tossed it in the hole. And just then he heard a rustling, so he spun around. And there was a goat coming at him, running wide open. And he just had time to jump out of the way. And that goat went right past him and right down in that hole. He looked up and he seen this old bearded guy looked like a shepherd come walking along. And that shepherd, he said, "You haven't seen my goat, have you?" And the guy said, "Well, the weirdest thing, I was just standing by this hole and a goat come on a dead run. And I just had to jump out of the way and the goat went down in the hole." And that shepherd said, "Well, I seriously doubt that that was my goat," he said, "because my goat was tied to a railroad tie." What does that have to do with the Gideons? Absolutely nothing. I just like that story. Thank you for indulging me. I do have some stories about people at the Gideons. This is Ron Archer's story, if you ever get a chance to see it on YouTube or he tells it much better than me, but I will tell it as I know it. Ron was 10 years old, and he had his mother's gun, and he was holding it to his head. He was about to commit suicide. Now, why would a 10-year-old want to commit suicide? Well, for Ron's story, you have to go back to his grandparents. His grandmother was a tall white woman from Sweden, and his grandfather was a big burly black man from Cuba. His grandma, they called her French fry, and they called his grandpa hamburger. And they got married, and they had the French fry and hamburger. They said they had a happy meal of 7 children. And back in the 40s, they had to keep this secret that they had an interracial marriage. But one night they were out celebrating their anniversary, and someone walked up to his grandmother and said, "Why would you be a nigger lover?" Well, his grandpa had been drinking some rum, and he hit the man so hard that he didn't kill him, but he seriously injured him. He was sentenced to the toughest prison in Ohio, and there his wife was alone with the kids. But she was industrious. When her employer found out that she was married to a black felon, she lost her job. But she didn't let that slow her down. She took whatever job she could. She took cleaning and cooking and watching children. But one day she started feeling dizzy spells. And the doctors discovered she had a tumor. And they said they could save her life, but they had to remove one eye and one third of her face. So now she was sick. She was disabled. She was disfigured. She couldn't work. And over time, they lost their house, they lost their car, they lost their furniture, they lost everything. They were living on the street like animals, the 7 kids. Ron's 3 uncles became heroin addicts. They joined a gang called the Devil's Disciples. When Ron's mother, which would have been a sister to those 3, was 14 years old, a man approached her and asked, "What is school doing for you? You're sitting on a gold mine." She said, "Where? You're sitting on it." So he became her pimp, and she started to sell her little 14-year-old body to grown men. When she was 16, she became pregnant. Her pimp said, "You can't make any money being pregnant. You got to get rid of that baby." Back in the 40s, they didn't have clinics like they do now, I guess. So they gave her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They tried to stab the baby to death with coat hangers. He was born 2 months premature with severe health problems. As a child, he had a madam who would watch her while his mother was working, who hated men. She would torture him with a broom handle. He learned early on, don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend that nothing is happening. In school, he stuttered severely and was thought to have a learning disability. He was put in a boiler room with similar students, and most of the day they would stand and finger paint. But one woman with a Gideon Bible would come to their class. That was her mission field. She would tell Ron stories of how Moses was also a stutterer. He began to stand up straighter, stutter less. He quit wetting the bed. He began to memorize scripture, believe in God. He became valedictorian of his class, became a pastor, and led his entire family to salvation. All because one woman, armed with the living word of God, took the time to share with one child. And he is a tremendous speaker. If you ever get a chance to go on YouTube or something and see him. So, who are the Gideons? We're in over 190 countries with 90 languages. Since the Gideon organization was founded, we've distributed over 2 billion scriptures. Get in perspective, that's 2,000 million. The majority handed out one at a time by Gideon, who could share with the person receiving the scripture. We are unique because we have Gideon camps worldwide. They know the language, the customs. They know where the hotels, schools, and hospitals, etc. are located. Sometimes local Gideon groups are formed where traditional missionaries aren't even allowed to go. Scriptures are being distributed around the clock at a rate of about 2 per second worldwide. It's like 2, 2, 2. Still, the demand is more than we can fill. We don't just dump scriptures on people. We try to fill requests as they come in. Last time I heard, we were had requests for about 7 million that we haven't filled. We don't borrow money to print as funds come in. We just print as funds come in. Our sources of income are the Gideons themselves, churches like yours, Gideon cards. I guess I got the cards sitting there. I didn't look to see, have you got a card rack here? Do you know? We'll get one if you don't mind. Especially the in-memory cards sometimes of a family, you know, they don't probably need the money. Give a couple Bibles in their name. I've had people come and tell me they really appreciated that, but that's up to you. Gideon cards and Friends of the Gideons, which are people who don't want to become Gideons. They just will come alongside the Gideons. We are not a church. Our members come from many denominations. What we have in common is a personal commitment to Christ and a belief that the Bible is the true Word of God. A Bible like this, and they're made pretty well. A Bible like this is $5 is what we pay. A New Testament, $1.25. And then we have this life book. I don't know how much it costs. It contains the entire book of John. And it's kind of...
I'm sorry.
When you get old, you got to get down on one knee. It's kind of in a form for kids to give to other kids. But it contains the entire book of John. And they're well made. Any one of these may change a person's life, a family's life, or generations of a family's life. When I was young, growing up in a church, I liked it when the Gideons came. I thought, who were these mysterious old men in suits? I think what I liked most was hearing that miracles still happen. They didn't just stop 2,000 years ago. But God's word is active, powerful, miraculously changing lives still, even as we speak. I never realized that a Gideon could be a next door neighbor who loved God and loved people enough to share the good news of salvation with others. I didn't know that there was a Gideon camp right here in Thief River Falls. I did not know that. I didn't know that the camp meets weekly to pray for local churches and pastors, that places Bibles in all the local hotels, clinics, the jail, schools, churches where schools where we can get in, which is most of them. nursing homes, the casino, and more. Camp that could hand out 700 New Testaments in the Thief River Falls homecoming parade twice. We aren't allowed in the school, but we are allowed in the parade, and all the kids are sitting along the parade route. Is that sneaky? I don't know. I don't care. Handed out 1,300 at the Middle River Goose Fest, 1,800 at the Warren Fair and Parade last summer. We exist solely for the purpose of winning souls for Christ through the distribution of the word. I don't know if you've seen it. It seems like a couple years ago, so it might be five. Did you ever see this story about Newfoundland Gideon that went to Venezuela? Well, I'll tell you a little bit about it. what a sweet guy he is. And he's in his 70s, and he went on a scripture blitz to Venezuela. And in 2 weeks, they handed out, with the help of the local Gideons, 652,000 New Testaments. One of the more interesting things when he was down there, I'll just read part of this here. He was, maybe I better put the cheaters on for this. There was a motorcycle thief that was in the area, and most of this vigilante started shooting at him when he come back. And most of the people dropped to the ground to protect themselves. Dahl was standing near a puddle and wasn't about to lay on the ground. He was 15 feet away from the two of them. He put the gun up to the thief's head, said Dahl, who was prepared to witness the man's murder. But he didn't shoot, and the thief left. I got a couple highlighted here because two of the places they went were military schools and the National Guard military compound. Now this is Venezuela. They were allowed in every school in Venezuela. Venezuela is a communist country. I don't know if any of you have been paying attention to what's been going on in Venezuela the last couple years. Year before last, I know the average person lost 10 pounds because they didn't have enough to eat. They're trying to flee the country. Neighboring countries don't want them. But isn't it odd that a communist country will basically give them free rein to distribute scriptures, and we're restricted in this country. We have paid to get out into the college here to set up a little booth, but we're not allowed to walk and confront, but we can go on the sidewalk, I guess. We tried. They did have one little problem. They were retained at a National Guard armory for a while. They had to come back, and they were wondering, there's a lot of prayers going up and stuff. And they sat in a little room for 3 hours. And one of the guards come up to him and handed him a little piece of paper. He thought, what did I do now? But it was Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. One of the guards gave him that. And then a little while later, as he's being interrogated, I don't mean roughed up, I mean just questioned, but another guard handed him a slip of paper, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things that in all things, should know this by heart, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So that's just and they were released. It was just a mix-up. That's just one of the Gideons. Many of them, I have never went on a scripture blitz, but many of them have. Okay. Now I'm getting all mixed up here on my notes because I got to tell you, first off, you're supposed to have bulletins, and I forgot them at home. So pray for me for my memory. I'll just have to say it by heart, dear. I think. Well, I got some notes. This is a story about Lee, who was a member of the Hell's Angels. Lee said, by his own admission, he lived to intimidate people. Lee was high on drugs all the time, and he thought everybody else should be high on drugs all the time, and he would be more than willing to sell them the drugs to keep them high. But what you would expect to happen to Lee happened. He got sent to prison for 5 years. And when he got in prison, his mind wouldn't stop. It was just spinning, spinning. So he thought, maybe if I could read something, I could slow down my mind. So he asked for something to read. They said, we don't got nothing to read, but maybe you could go to the chapel. And he went to the chapel and asked for something to read. He didn't go inside because he knew that's where the hypocrites hung out, was inside the chapel. So he was too good. This drug dealer wasn't going to be, he was at least, draw the line there, he wouldn't be a hypocrite and go into the chapel. So anyway, they give him his own Bible. But shortly after, he got moved to a different prison that didn't have a chapel. I mean, it had a chapel, but it didn't have a chapel service. But by this time, the Word of God was taking root in Lee, and Lee thought, well, hey, why can't I lead chapel? I have my own Bible. So he began having a chapel service. And when that service got too full, they had started having two services a Sunday. And they thought, well, why do we just, I guess some churches meet on Wednesday. Let's meet on Wednesday night. So they had two services on Sunday. They met on Wednesday. And before he left there, they were having Bible study and worship 6 nights a week, and twice on Sunday, like they say. And he got his life turned around. Now Lee is serving in his local church along with his wife, their children, and grandchildren. They're all members of the church. Not because of what the Gideons did. It was a Gideon Bible, but not because of what the Gideons did, but because of the power of the Word of God. I got one more story. There's a young girl named Carola who lived in South America, a middle school student. And she was excited because the Gideons were coming to her class, and they were supposed to get a book. And evidently they probably didn't have many books. But when they got to Carola's class, Carola and one other girl were the last two to get in there, and looked in the box, and there was only one New Testament. And Carola got it. And Carola, it took years, but she started reading the scripture, and she became a Christian. She married a Christian. They became missionaries. And it's just a great story, except for one thing. I think, what if there wasn't one left in there and Carola didn't get a testament? Or what if there was one more? What about that other girl? Did she ever get the word? I don't know. But that's the part of that story that it's a great, it's It's something to rejoice about, but yet it haunts me a little. We distribute scriptures to tell others about Jesus. But is belief in Jesus enough? James 2:19 says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder." Now I'm going to need these again. I need a personal assistant. I've got one sitting there, but... Matthew 16, 13 through 17. Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So this may be the most important question we must ask ourselves. Who do you say that Jesus is? Not who does your grandma say that he is. Not who your father or mother says he is, but who is Jesus to you? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus called him blessed. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I messed up on this one before studying for today. I always thought it said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. But that's not what it says. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Jesus is Lord. But if you confess Jesus as Lord, who's Jesus to you? Is he a Lord or is he your Lord? That's what each one of us has to answer. Yes or no? It's the most important question everyone will ask themselves. Every major religion is the story of, other than Christianity, is the story of man reaching for God, trying to please him, hoping desperately that their good deeds outweigh the bad, or improving their karma so the next life may be better than their current one. But the New Testament tells the story of God reaching down to man while we were still his enemy, not dismissing our sin as though it never happened, but bringing the ransom with him in the person of his own Son to pay the redemptive price for our sin, so that we may be reconciled to God after receiving Christ's righteousness. What more could he do to prove his love for us? Would you sacrifice your child to save a friend? Would you sacrifice your child to save your enemy? Why do Gideons do what we do? Why am I here speaking to you instead of sitting with my family in my own church? Well, I believe we are taking part in the Great Commission. Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Thank you. I turn into a blubbering idiot sometimes. Most of the time. We believe the Bible is the true word of God. That Jesus died in our place for our sins. And that no one comes to the Father but by Him. I do it because I believe heaven and hell are real. I do it because I believe it's God's will that none should perish, but those who reject God's provision for salvation will. Would you like to help? If you do, you could pray for us as we pray for all our local pastors and churches. You could donate today or use a memory card or other card provided in your church. Or maybe you could be interested in becoming a Gideon. If I can do it, believe me, you can too. And you don't have to go out and speak if you don't want to. One kind of funny thing happened when we were going to go to the parade in Warren. One of our Gideon president, he said we're going to be depending kind of hard on the young ones because it's a long walk. And he looked right at me. I looked at him, I said, that's kind of funny and sad at the same time. We could use some young ones. Maybe the day will come when everybody has a smartphone and we'll be out of business, and that's just fine with me. I don't care how they get it, just so they get it. Yes. I'd just like to thank the pastor for inviting us, and I'd like to thank you for listening to me. And I do have a couple of New Testaments and a Bible and a life book if anybody wants one. Will I be in the back of the church or take an offering or something? I'll be back there and you can ask for a New Testament or a life book or the Bible. It's all for giveaway. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Dale. Appreciate that so very much. It's interesting, when people go on missions, they're on a mission and they seem like they set their goal to what they're doing and they get that done in a very short time. And I just remember being in, we had several people up in the Indian Reserves, and Jerry Breyer, Generous Jerry, is a Gideon, and he's very vocal. And in Canada, again, you go to Canada and sometimes you say, boy, that's a tough place to bring the gospel because it's hard to get into places. But every school system opened up to Jerry, and he got to go in. And I remember Pastor Tom was also, and Jacob, and we had a whole crew up there. And he went in and he told story after story after story about what the Gideons had did, and they were opened up. And we had brought something like 350 New Testaments, and we could hand them out to all the Indian children up there, First Nations children. And that was fantastic. And Jerry, you know, he kind of tells the story like no one else could tell a story. And he had all of the teachers pretty much convinced about everything. And it was the teachers that really got us into the school. There was another time in Uganda, and I just want to tell this story. that the Gideons work so hard to gather, and they work probably 3 or 4 days in the school to have this event. And there were 650 kids that was in that school, high school students. And so Dave Wagner and myself were there, and I was having the opportunity to go with the Gideons and talk with the kids. And so that day was the day they were going to hand out the Bibles. And we had brought a bunch of Bibles along. I had a suitcase, and I think we had 300 Bibles. But, you know, now we got 675 children or young people. And I'm going, okay. So the Gideons, there was probably 25, 30 Gideons that were working in that area. And they'd set this up. They set it up with the principal. And the principal is a non-believer, but yet he said yes to us. So we got to go in there, and they had been working. And then they came to me, the Gideon leader said, would you like to say the prayer to lead these children to Christ and share with them? I said, well, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, I knew how hard they had worked. And it wasn't my labor. I come in, and they were gracious and said, hey, you want to do this? And so that day I got to share the gospel with 675 young people. And I shared out of John 10:10, where the thief has come to rob, kill, and destroy, but I have come to bring life and life more abundantly. And I said, there's two lives there, the thief's life, or the abundant life. What do you want to live in? And so I gave him a choice. I said, that day, I said, hey, you know, are you going to live a life that's going to be filled with the abundance of God? Or are you going to be one that is going to be robbed or stole from? What type of life would you want to live? And so that choice was given, and 675 children raised their hands. I mean, I was shocked. I'm going, wow. But they gave their life to Jesus Christ. And the Gideons that had worked there, we gave every Bible that we possibly could, the New Testament Bible, out to the young people, and we were lacking about 300 Bibles. And so, you know, you're kind of going, okay, now what do you do? But those that were there, they went the next day, and they found 300 and some Bibles somewhere, and this was in Uganda. I'm not quite sure what city it was, but they gathered, and the next day they come back, and they were all given a New Testament Bible. I mean, that's the type of work that these folks are doing. And maybe one of the greatest gifts that were given that day is the principal gave his life to Jesus Christ. How powerful is that? And so, you know, you start hearing story after story. When you're on a mission, when you understand what the mission is, things get done very quickly. And, you know, there's a prophetic word for 2019 that nations will be saved in a day. Yes. Saved and discipled in a day. I don't know how that happens, but that's a prophetic word from 2019. Maybe in this area, sometimes we're always looking for purpose to what we're wanting to do. And we say, well, you know, we go to church and, you know, that's good. Except plugging into purpose, into a mission, you can have 1,500 Bibles passed out in Middle River or Warren or things like that. And we understand about parades and different things like that. But I want you to consider maybe some, is this just for guys? Okay. Okay, hospitals and the clinics, the ladies are in charge of that? Okay, so that's a dual deal where women and men can get involved in it. But, you know, If you got something on your heart to do it, I know that it's good soil. I know that you're sowing into something that's going to grow and it's going to overtake the earth. Amen. That's the Great Commission. So in that, let's pray for the Gideons. Let's pray for the nations of the world right now, that God himself will go by the Spirit and begin to work in their lives and hearts. Father, we come actually very, very humbly come and just say, God, if it wasn't for you, where would we be? Where would our testimony be? If that was the last time you talked to one person and gave them something that is so valuable, like that little girl who got one, how about that one that haunts Dale today, even saying that one didn't get one? So, Father, we ask, Lord, that we would take commitment. Maybe something's going on in men and women's hearts. Say, I'm going to join this organization because I know personally myself that it's a fantastic organization. And it continues to grow and go because men and women are saying, I want to be on a mission. So we release your power. We release your understanding for these days ahead, 2019, that nations actually could be saved and discipled in a day. We release your blessing now upon this organization, and we thank you for Dale and his wife as they came and shared these testimonies. And we thank you for those 600 and some kids that got Bibles. Maybe they're going to turn out to be the life changers of Africa and beyond. And we thank you, Lord, for the nations of the earth. God, you've made us and created us to unify together and win the world for Jesus. We thank you and we praise you for that now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.